the Old Testament, the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 14. We're going to read a couple of verses over there, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Kings chapter 14. This may not be a familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to look at it this morning. 1 Kings chapter 14, and then I'll also be reading towards the end of the message out of 2 Chronicles chapter 12. If you want to go ahead and find your place over there, maybe put a bookmark. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. We're going to read, begin at verse number 25 down through verse number 28. 1 Kings chapter 14. We'll begin there this morning. Verse number 25. We'll read these few verses. I still hear pages turning, so I'm going to give you a moment to find it all. First Kings chapter 14, verse number 25. The Bible said, "And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them under the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come today and I want to thank you for letting us be here. I want to thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings that you've given to us. And, Lord, the opportunity to be back in thy house this morning. Lord, it just seems like it's been a long week and a long time since last week. But, Lord, we've had a lot going on and things like that. So we're thankful for your faithfulness. We're thankful, Lord, that you're the same no matter what. And, dear God, as we come today, we have many things that have already been mentioned in our midst. Things we're praying for and people, sicknesses in our midst, and then people we know. Lord, we think about the little boy that has cancer. God, we especially pray for him and his family this morning. God, that you just touch and move there. Lord, I can't imagine. That's a horrible thing. Lord, we pray you'd be with them. I pray, Lord, that you would just help us today. I pray for liberty. I pray you'd forgive us where we failed you. We need your help. We need your grace. Thank you for your love and your mercy. I pray, Lord, that you'd take the message and speak to our hearts as only you can. I pray that you'd give good liberty and that you'd have your way. We ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read one more time, beginning the last part of verse number 26, where it talks about, the Bible said, "And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them under the hands of the chief guard." Now, what that's talking about, brazen shields, he took where the king of Egypt had stolen all of the shields of gold. And King Rehoboam, to replace them, when it says in their stead, he made shields made out of brass. They would look the same, but they were by no means the same. And that's what that's talking about in this passage of Scripture. Now, Rehoboam, King Rehoboam, his name means a people shall enlarge. As any king might desire that under their reign, the kingdom would grow and the kingdom would prosper and the kingdom would get larger. But if you know anything about the Bible, you know that since Rehoboam has been king, it's done exactly the opposite of enlarging. Since Rehoboam has been the king, the kingdom has divided, it's split. The people have been scattered. They've been divided into a northern tribe and a southern tribe. And so in your Bible, when you read about the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, that was actually two different kingdoms for over 200 years. They had a king in the north and they had a king in the south. And Rehoboam, he was the king over the southern kingdom. And it split because of something that he had done. And so this is not something that he had inherited. It is something that he had caused. Rehoboam had inherited the richest, most influential kingdom upon the face of the earth. When Rehoboam became the king, Israel, the United Kingdom, was what we would call in our day and time a superpower. We study in the Bible and we find out that the kings, the nations of the earth at that time, they came to King Solomon. You look back in chapter 10, we'll read just a verse. We're going to read a few verses here in 1 Kings. But in chapter 10, it talks about the kingdom which Solomon reigned over and how great that it was. And can you imagine at that time, the Bible says, 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 23, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. Verse 23, and all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. It was the pinnacle at that time of all the nations upon the face of the earth. Now, we'll read this a little bit later, but Rehoboam, he reigned for 17 years after King Solomon died. He was the king for 17 years, and it is interesting to me that the summary of everything that he ever done is found in verse 21 down through verse number 31. Verse number 21, the Bible said, and Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Verse number 31, and Rehoboam slept with his fathers. So everything that King Rehoboam accomplished in those 17 years is summarized in these 10 verses in the Bible. All of his acts, if you look in verse number 29, the Bible said, now the rest of the acts of Rehoboam, that means everything that he did, all of his actions, and all of his acts and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And that's over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 12. Tells about everything that King Rehoboam did during his reign. But when God sums up the reign of King Rehoboam, both places, it emphasizes what he did with these shields. How that he had made brazen shields in replacement of the golden shields which the king of Egypt had came and stolen and taken away. So everything that he did, Rehoboam's kingdom was in decline. Nothing is going right in his kingdom. And what he is remembered for in the Word of God is just simply this. We might say it like this, just keeping up appearances. You ever heard anybody say that? Keeping up appearances. Making everything appear like it's all right, even though everybody knows that it's not all right. Sometimes people try to act like they have money when they really don't have any money. That's easy to do in America because they'll send you in the mail, credit cards and stuff. And so you can buy things and you can go get something that actually you can't afford, and you can take it home and have it for a while, and really you can't afford it. Now, they used to say keeping up with the Joneses. I think that's what they used to say, or keeping up with, now they say keeping up with the Kardashians. I was doing a little research on this, keeping up appearances, what it means, and that's what come up, keeping up that Hollywood family, and I don't know much about it, but that's what they say now, keeping up appearances, making everything look like it's all right when really it's not. And that's what King Rehoboam is remembered for out of all the things that he did in his 17-year reign as the king, his attempt to make everything appear as it was before. His attempt to make everything appear normal, even though everyone in the kingdom knows that it's not the same since King Rehoboam took over. And I want us to notice some things, and I want to preach this whole message, just make an application to all of us at the end. But I want us to notice some things about how difficult it is to keep up appearances when nothing is really the same. Now, first of all, I want to say, and we're going to go back in to verse number 21. I want to say, first of all, when the monarchs are not the same. Now, monarch is just another word for king. The monarchs are not the same. The Bible said in verse 21, and Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord did choose out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah and Ammonitis. Now, what we're talking about here, look what it said. And Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. The son of Solomon. Now, Solomon was the son of David. We're only three kings into the United Kingdom. And if you counted Saul, King Saul, that would be four. But those of you that know your Bible, you know that God rejected Saul, and the man that God really wanted was David. And so were David, Solomon, and the next king over the kingdom there is Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam, as we're going to study and find out in the Bible, Rehoboam is no Solomon. And if you know about Solomon, although Solomon was a great man and Solomon was a great king, Solomon was no David. David, as we study about in the Bible, was a man after God's own heart. Solomon was a man that God had given great wisdom unto. David, as we think about him, he's what we might call a man that's a real man's man. David knew what it was to start out at the very bottom, didn't he? He was the youngest of all of Jesse's sons. He knew what it was to be a shepherd boy. He knew what it was to take orders. He knew what it was to work hard. He knew what it was to fight and win a battle. He knew what it was to be a fugitive and run basically from the law while Saul was trying to kill him. He had a lot of life experience, we might talk about. David knew what it was to rule over a divided kingdom. Do you know he ruled for 7 years just over his tribe? And then later God united the whole kingdom behind David. He knew what it was to go from division to unity. He was a great king. He was a warrior king. And he, although he was not perfect and he sinned many times, the Bible does say he was a man after God's own heart. And when he got out of sorts with God, we might say he knew how important it was to make things right and get right with God. We see that many times in David's life. Solomon was born the king's son. He always, all he ever knew, I guess we could put it like this, is growing up in a king's household. All he ever knew was a life of royalty, Solomon. And Rehoboam, he was born, he knew nothing but being the king's son and the king's grandson. There's a difference between these three men. At least David and at least Solomon, they knew in their being king that they needed God's wisdom. They needed God's help. They knew that. You look back in chapter number 3. We'll read just a few verses about Solomon over there, 1 Kings chapter number 3. I want to point out something about King Solomon. Chapter number 3, they knew that they needed the Lord's help in what they were doing. And even Solomon, being born the king's son, knew that he couldn't do this all by himself. Solomon said in chapter 3, verse number 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the Bible says the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. When God came to Solomon and he said, what can I grant unto you? He didn't say, make me rich, make me powerful, make me win battles over all my enemies. Solomon said, I'm not able to do this. I'm just as a little child, and I need some wisdom. And that thing pleased God, that the king over Israel said, I cannot do this on my own. I need the help of God. And it pleased the Lord. And he gave Solomon, he made Solomon the wisest man upon the earth, so much so that the kings of the earth came and sought the wisdom of Solomon. Now, Dad asked me one time, he said, if Solomon was so wise, why did he get messed up with all them women? And we know that he did. And the Bible says that his wives in his older age turned his heart away from God. And the only answer I know to that is that his know better and his do better didn't line up. And that's how all of us are. A lot of times we know better, but we don't do better. We're made out of this old sinful flesh, and that's how Solomon was as well. But God gave him all that wisdom. But now Rehoboam, when we come to the matter of Rehoboam, he's a far cry away from what his grandfather was. Look over in chapter 12. He's a far cry away from what his father was. If you know anything about Rehoboam, look in chapter number 12. We'll read a few verses over there. Solomon dies. Rehoboam becomes the king. And look what happens in Rehoboam's reign. Now, he comes to the place early on. He wants some advice. The people wanted King Rehoboam to lighten up a little bit, not make life so hard on them. And so the Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6, and King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do ye advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken unto me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon this lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shall ye speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. He didn't take the advice of the old men. He listened to them young men, and Rehoboam was a smart aleck, and Rehoboam was a know-it-all. And Rehoboam is one of those people that you cannot give them any authority because they'll abuse it. And that's exactly what he did. He said, I'll show you who the king is now. And you thought my daddy was hard on you? My little finger is thicker than his loins, his leg, the meaty part, the big part of his leg. I'll show you. And boy, it didn't take no time. The kingdom split. And it caused a great division. He was a person who would not listen to the old men, the old ways. And I can say this morning that it is the same way in America or any nation upon the face of the earth. Leadership always declines. We could say the same thing in America. We've had our Davids. We've had some great men in this country that were leaders that started out very humbly, and they worked their way and they made their way, and we recognize them as heroes because they did heroic things. We've got our George Washingtons, and we've got our great men in this nation. We've had some Solomons. We've had some leaders that had great wisdom and handled situations in a godly way, in a good way, and looked to the Lord for leadership. We've had some Solomons, but we've also, especially of late, we've got a lot of Rehoboams. We've got a lot that would not listen to the generation before them, and they're going to do their own thing, and they're going to abuse the power that they've got. We've got a lot of Rehoboams, and it happens over and over and over again in history that it repeats itself. And leadership tends to decline. It may look the same, but it's not the same. We could say that today, make an application. The monarchs are not the same. Number two, the morals are not the same. Look at chapter 14, verse 22. The morals are not the same. We're talking about keeping up appearances. We're talking about making things look all right, but really they're not. The monarchs are not the same. Number two, the morals are not the same. Chapter 14, verse 22. And Judah, that's the southern kingdom. Remember that. Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. They provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also Sodomites in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. There's three verses there. I'll give you three things, one from each verse, to show you that the morals are not the same. Verse number 22, the Bible said Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord. What's evil? Evil's the opposite of good. We live in a day where good's called evil and evil's called good. Everything's upside down, turned around backwards. If you want to know what evil is, look what God says is good and what God says is bad. They were doing what God said was bad. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed. They did evil. They did sins. They provoked God by their sinfulness. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible said, and it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord, and all Israel with him. What does that mean? They, as a nation, as they prospered, and at the very height of their prosperity, when they could look around and see what a great nation and what a rich nation they were, when they got to the very pinnacle of that, they'd done this to God. They said, boy, we're so great now. We're so smart now. We don't need God anymore. We're just going to do what we want to do. And it doesn't matter what God says, and it doesn't matter what the law of the Lord says. They cast all that behind their back. Is there not an application like that in America today? At the very height of our prosperity, when we have come to a place in our nation where the majority of our young people are growing up, and they've not grown up like our grandfathers and fathers. We've grown up as the grandsons of the King. And those that have worked hard and made a way and gained a prosperous nation, there's many that have come along and say, we don't need God no more. It's where we are. History repeats itself. That's what they said. Look on down at the next verse after verse number 22, what the Bible says. Verse number 23, the Bible said, for they also built them high places and images and groves on every high hill and under every green tree. And what they did was that they were still very religious, but that was idolatry. That's what that's describing. They made them other gods. They made them other objects to worship instead of worshiping God. Now, in America, we are a very religious society. About everybody's got some kind of a religion. But idolatry is just as prevalent today as it ever has been. And it may not be in the form of an image or an idol, but most people, they have something that they worship above the Lord. It's more important to them. That's where they spend their time, their money, their finances, their mental ability, their physical ability. Their adoration is spent on something else. The Bible talks about like this in the New Testament. It talks about having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's where we are. We're very religious. Even if you have no religion, people make a religion out of that. Being an atheist, being an agnostic. They were very idolatrous, just like we are in America. Look at the next verse, verse number 24. And there were also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now you say, preacher, what's that mean? It means what it says. Who they were and what they were doing, who they were. They allowed the sodomites to establish themselves in the land. That is the Bible word for homosexuality. Now, it's not very popular, and it's more so, and I can even recognize it in my ministry. People begin to reject saying anything about homosexuality. It's not popular preaching. It is probably preaching that will be outlawed one day in America. And I know there's always talk about love and loving one another, and it doesn't matter who you love, and I don't even like to talk about this or think about this, but when it boils right down to it, it is this: a man's sexual desire for another man's. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's who they were. And we find here what they were allowed to do or what they were doing. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Now, there were other nations that had allowed this to flourish. And for what they did, God cast them out. The Bible said that they did the abominations. Abomination means a stench in the nostrils. It is a sin that is very repulsive in the sight of God Almighty. And He judges nations for it. He judges nations for that. He had judged the other nations. And they had allowed this. When a nation comes to the point that it's no big deal and it's acceptable, the nation's on its way out. Historically, it's happened over and over and over again. The morals are not the same. Well, it used to be once upon a time in America, we had morals and morality. And now it is laughed at. If a Christian talks about dressing modestly, I'm talking about something that is just, that shouldn't bother anybody. But you'll be laughed at. If you talk about something being wrong, you'll be ridiculed. That's where they were in Judah. The morals were not the same. Number three, look at verse number 25. We're talking about keeping up appearances. It looked like it was the same, but I'm showing you from the Word of God, it was not the same. The morals were not the same. Number three, the might was not the same. Look at verse 25. And it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt came up against Jerusalem. If we study this out, you'll find out that they had lost their allies. Way back in chapter number 3, I believe it is. 1 Kings chapter number 3. You know, Solomon had real close family ties down in Egypt. He had made an ally with Egypt. 1 Kings chapter 3 verse 1. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Solomon had went down into Egypt and married Pharaoh's daughter. They had made strong alliances with these other nations. Boy, it didn't take long for Rehoboam to mess it all up and ruin it all. The might was not the same of the nation. Solomon had a reign of peace. And that's why God allowed him to build the temple. Rehoboam and all the kings after him, they're going to lose that peacefulness that Solomon's kingdom had. And all they're going to know is fighting and war and being carried away and conquering and being conquered and death and famine and all the terrible things that come from disobeying God. Here the first bad thing happens. They lose their ally in Egypt and Shishak comes up and he attacks Jerusalem there, which is the city of David, the place where the temple of the Lord was. America used to be loved all around the globe by freedom-loving people. But you look around today and you'll find that we're more hated than loved. It might look the same, but I'm telling you, it's not the same as it used to be. Their allies were not the same. Their assets we're not the same. Look at verse 26. The Bible said, and he took away the treasures. This is what Shishak did. He took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He even took away all. I've got that highlighted in my Bible. He took away all. And he took away all the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Now, chapter 10, verse 17, if you go back over there, we're not going to, but look it up when you get home. There was 300 of those shields. There was 3 pounds of gold went into each shield. Gold is such a precious commodity that it is sold by the ounce. Just a few months ago, it was up around $1,800 to $2,000 an ounce. Do you think them shields were worth anything? The Bible said he took away all the treasure. The Bible said he took away all the treasure, not only out of the temple, out of the house of the Lord, but he took away all the treasure out of the king's house. You know, when God was leading Israel, Israel spoiled the Egyptians and took away all their treasure with them. Do you remember that?
Do you know when Israel got away from God and forsook the Lord, God allowed Egypt to come back and get everything that they had gotten taken away with interest. Makes a difference when a nation serves God and when it doesn't. Here Egypt comes and steals all their treasure. Most people do not realize how vulnerable we are in America and how the other countries have bought our debt and bought our bonds, and they own our companies and they own our resources and they own our technology, and we are a debtor nation. We owe. But we're in a bleak outlook. As far as a nation is concerned, that's what happens when a nation turns its back on God. It loses its allies, its security. It loses its treasure. Its national treasure. That's what this was. That's where they were. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is servant to the lender. That means to be a slave. The mat was not the same. Number four, the meaning is not the same. This is what we've been trying to get to. Look at verse 27 again. And King Rehoboam made in their stead brazen shields and committed them unto the hands of the chief of the guard, which kept the door of the king's house. And it was so when the king went into the house of the Lord that the guard bare them and brought them back into the guard chamber. Now, Rehoboam did all these things so it would look like it wasn't as bad as it was. And these 300 gold shields in Britain, they would call that pomp and circumstance. They have a royal family over there, and we lived in England, and we've been to the palace down there and seen all the, man, you can go down underneath the ground over there and see the king's gold and all these treasures. See them fellas marching around with their big fuzzy hats on, all that. That is all for show. And that's what them shields of gold, they were to show how great God was. They were to show His power, His might, His beauty. Gold in the Bible is a type of Christ. It's a type of deity. It's a type of the faith. It's a shield. It's a reminder of the shield and the help of the Lord. There's a lot of meaning in those golden shields. But Rehoboam, he just made shields out of brass. That's copper. What that is, and depending on how much zinc it has in it, it can either be red like a penny or it can be shiny like gold or like the buttons on a soldier's uniform. And so the shields would look the same and they acted the same. Boy, the king's getting ready to go to church now. Get out the 300 shields out of the armory. All the soldiers get out there, get lined up. I can just imagine them, two big rows and the king right down the middle, and man, it looked good. And he'd go to the house of the Lord. That's what this verse is saying, these two verses. He'd come back from the house of the Lord, and when they came back, they'd get all the shields, they'd take them into the armory, they'd hang them up where they were before, they'd set the guard out there in front just like they did before. But I'm telling you, these new shields, they were nothing in comparison. There's a bunch of pennies hanging on the wall instead of millions and millions and millions of dollars. Brass in the Bible is a type of the judgment of God. The altar and the tools of the altar, all of those things were made out of brass. And that was where the judgment of God took place, was upon the altar. And Rehoboam took a cheaper material and he made something that looked just like the ones before. But they were made out of brass. And every time they got them shields of brass out and lined up down the street and marched up and down the road, boy, it looked good. But what it was a picture of, it was saying the judgment of God. The judgment of God. the judgment of God. And I'm telling you, every time I see one of our leaders on TV, when I hear them talk this big talk and all these big plans and everything that they're going to do, to some it might sound real good, but it looks like the judgment of God upon our nation. We've lost our assets. We've lost our allies. We've lost our treasure. We've lost our security. We're just as afraid and living under the shadow of terrorism just like any other nation in the world. And the meaning is just not the same. These shields of brass point to the judgment of God. It may look good, but it's not the same as it was. Now, there's one thing that's still the same. I want you to look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and I'm going to close. There's one thing in all of this that remains the same. Everything has changed in the nation except for one thing. And we see that in 2 Chronicles. And while you're finding your place there, let me say, people say, why 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, 1 and 2 Samuel? A lot of it tells the same stories. But 1 Kings and 2 Kings is from man's viewpoint. 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles is always, it's always a little bit different, and it is from God's viewpoint. That's why there's these four different books in the Bible. So when you're studying, remember that 2 Chronicles is from God's viewpoint. And look what the Bible says, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 5. This is like Paul Harvey. Now you're going to learn the rest of the story. Verse number 5, the Bible said over there, then came Shammai the prophet to Rehoboam. Don't think that God ever leaves himself without a witness. It may seem like God's nowhere, but God's always got somebody that'll take a message to the king. And here's Shammai the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, "Boy, let things get real bad, and the enemy come into our borders." And then they wanted to know what God had to say. Here's what he said. Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me, and therefore I have also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. And they said, the Lord is righteous. What would it take to get our land to humble ourselves? But they did. They said, the Lord's right. The Lord is right. Wouldn't that be a blessing to see just some of our leaders just acknowledge we're in a mess and God's right and it's our fault and not the Lord's? Verse 7, and when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shammai, saying, they have humbled themselves, therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance. And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. God said, I saw them humble themselves. And because they humble themselves, now they're not going to get complete deliverance. But God said, what I was going to do, I'm not going to do. I'm going to stop right there. And that's as far as it's going to go. I'm telling you, that'd be a blessing. God said, I was going to give them completely into the hand of Shishak. I'm not going to do that now. There's one thing that is still the same in this passage of Scripture, although everything else has changed and the king tried to keep up appearances and make it seem like everything is all right. There's one thing that remains the same, and that is God's mercy is the same. When God saw that they humbled themselves, God's hand of judgment, he put it up right there. He said, we'll not go any further in this. Malachi 3:6, the Bible said, I am the Lord, I change not. Now I've preached this message nationally speaking, and the Bible has a great many things to say about our nations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But I want to apply this before we go home personally. It's easy to look at Rehoboam and say the big hypocrite, and it's easy to look at our nation's leaders, and it's easy to look at our policies and all the different blame that is passed around today. But as I studied about Rehoboam and him trying to keep up appearances, I thought to myself, are we many times not exactly like Rehoboam was? Personally, I'm talking about me in my life, in my house now. It's real easy to blame the president. But you want to know whose fault the condition of the country really is? It's our fault. Because we're like Rehoboam in that our morals have changed and we just go right on like nothing's wrong. And our might is changed and our character has changed and everything under the sun has changed and we don't rely on God like we used to. And I mean, I could just preach the whole thing over again. But we as God's people have really let the Lord down. We've let our nation down. We say, oh, I don't like what's going on morally. But you watch that crowd on TV just like it's nothing. We support all this ungodliness with our money, with our time, with our resources. So I don't like that Hollywood. I don't like that music. But our homes and our TVs and computers and devices are filled up with this stuff and paying for it. So that's not a very valid point. We're like Rehoboam many times, keeping up appearances, but it's not the same. I like what the Bible said here, 2 Chronicles chapter 12 verse 10. Again, it said where he took away the shields of gold, the last part of verse 9, which Solomon made, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass. That's a judgment of God. That seems final. Well, studying over there, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 17, there's an interesting verse. The Lord is talking. And the Bible said in Isaiah 60 and 17, God said, for brass I will bring gold. God said, for brass I'll bring gold. The only one that is able to make an exchange like that is the Lord. I like Isaiah 59:1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. God still hears. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, the nation is in a mess and the country's in a mess and the world's in a mess. But I can't do a thing about that other than the condition of my own heart. That's just the one thing that I have some control over. It's the one thing that you have some control over. Look what the Bible said in verse number 12, 2 Chronicles 12 and 12, and I'm closing. The Bible said, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether, and also in Judah things went well. You know what I'm amazed at today? I'm amazed that things are as well as they are. I really am. As I look and study the Word of God and I see the direction our nation is going in, I am amazed at the mercy of God. I'm amazed that it's as well with us as it is. And if there is a reason for the spared judgment of God upon our nation, it has to be that there's still some salt and some light and some people that want to do right and love the Lord and pray and seek God's face and turn from that. That is the only spiritual explanation. There's got to still be some people that says, Lord, please have mercy on us. And I believe we ought to desire to be that people. If we don't stand in the gap for our nation, our neighbors, one another, that nobody else will. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. We're going to